I hope everyone is happy this morning, because I'm happy. Thank you, Chris, for your worship. It's always like that. You preach before we come. And thank you, Pastor, for introducing me. And thank you also for yesterday, your life-changing message. God bless you. Praise God. But before we start everything, I want us to come before the Lord and pray. Father, I just thank you this morning. I thank you for each of everyone here. I thank you for their life. And I thank you for a day like this you have set before us. Father, thank you for sending us Jesus. Jesus, thank you that you came to die on the cross to set us free. We are free this morning to listen to you. And thank you also for your promise. You promise us that you never leave us or forsaking us. You are here today. And thank you also for sending us Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are here. You are the teacher. Teach us into all truth and reveal the purpose you have for our life and help us to walk in it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Today, we are going to talk about purpose God has for our life. And I'm happy to share with you because that is the message. It's inside in my heart. And I love to share what is inside my heart. Praise God. And when we say purpose, it is the original intent for the creation of a thing. Everything in life has a purpose. And everyone was born with and for a purpose. It is this purpose that is the only source of meaning. Without purpose, life is meaningless. Life is an experiment. It's a risk journey that results in failure and disappointment. Therefore, it is important for us to discover and understand the purpose in our life, so that we can experience the full and rewarding life. No purpose, no life. I just want to spend a few minutes to share my life story. I used to do that, and I'm not ashamed to do that. And I promised myself that I won't stay long on this story. When I was a child, all my hope was dependent on my father. If you are a child and you find out that your father has one or two things, you put your trust in him. It's a great mistake to do that. But as a believers, we need to put our trust in God, because God will never fail us. At the age of 13, 14, unfortunately for me, my father passed away. And I was thinking that I would get my share of his property. But his family came to us. When I say us, me, my siblings, including my mom. And they say to us, guys, your father's property belonged to his nephews. Wow. At the age of 13, 14, I became discouraged and disappointed. And I thought I had no purpose in life. But the good news was, after his death, I became born again. But I was not rooted in the word of God. So I decided to leave my own plans. As I was growing up, I put on my own plans and I pray and fast. I said, God, bless it for me. I'll cut it short. I thank Almighty God for my life right now, because his love and mercy has revealed the purpose he has for my life. From my own experience in life, moving with people and working alongside people, what I have found out is that many people go through situations in life and they have become disappointed and failure, thinking that they have no life, no purpose in their life. That is not true. God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. He created you for a purpose, not accident. Right. You are unique and you can make difference on this planet. Everything in life were made for a purpose. Yes. Cars, houses, were made for a purpose. This pulpit were made for a purpose. Even things which have no life in them were made for a purpose. How much you? An image of God. God created you with gift and talent.
Yes.
He created you with a purpose. He has a purpose for your life. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work. God created you for a good work. I'm not saying this morning that we don't need to have plans for our life. I myself, I have my own plans. Each of everyone here have their own plans. That's good. Maybe you have a plan to become a business star. That's good. You have a plan to become maybe a prime minister. I mean, if you have, maybe, I don't know if someone here has a plan to become a footballer, but that's good. But what I'm trying to communicate with you this morning is that the purpose God has for your life is better than your plans. God has a better plan for your life. So this morning, we are going to see the purpose God has for our life. I want you to turn your Bible with me to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. And I will take one verse from here. I'll read from verse 7. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. This verse tells us that God created us for his glory. Therefore, the purpose for man is to glorify God. But sometimes believers, we look back too much to our mistakes, what we have done. The mistakes we have already committed, we spend time to look at it, instead of spending time to look at what's ahead of us. And we condemn ourselves. We are not worthy to glorify God. But you are. And the truth is, when you become born again, when you accept Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, you are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if anyone is in Christ Jesus, it's a new creation. The old man has gone and the new man has come. So you are a new creation. Forget about it. Do not spend time to think about your past mistake and see yourself the way God sees you. God sees you as pure, as holy, as if you never sinned before. As Jesus is, so you are. So when we come into his presence, we need to come to with gladness, singing. And we need to remember that it's God who created us, not ourselves. We need to remember that it's God who created heaven and earth. And he's the Alpha and he's the Omega. He's the beginning and he's the end. You have ability to love him. You have ability to serve him. And you have ability to fellowship and worship him. You are the image of God. He created you with gift and talent. And the purpose he has for your life is to glorify him. The purpose God has for your life is to spread his love to all nations. To share his love and his kindness to those who have never, ever experienced his love. The purpose God has for your life is to preach the gospel. Yes. To bring people, the unbelievers, those who have never experienced the love of God, to bring them into the kingdom of light. God has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. Turn your Bible with me to the book of Mark. Mark 16, the last chapter. Okay, and I'll read from verse 11 to make my point. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he has risen. I want to make my point from here, verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe would be condemned. The point is, as a believer, you are a disciple of Christ. And Jesus commanded his disciple to go to all nations and preach the gospel. And Jesus is talking to us right now to go to all nations and preach the gospel. And the question is, are we ready to go to nations to preach the gospel? Are we ready to preach the gospel to our neighbors? Are we ready to preach the gospel on the street? Yes. Are we ready to preach the gospel in our workplaces? Jesus is commanding us as a disciples to go to all nations and preach the gospel. But what I have seen is some Christians, believers, don't preach the gospel. And some leaders don't go to nations. They rather remain. But Jesus is commanding us right now to go to nations and preach the gospel. Are we going to preach the gospel? There are thousands, millions of people on this planet. They never, ever heard the gospel before. They never, ever heard the love, experienced the love of God in their life before. Who is going to preach the gospel to them? We, as a disciple, we need to do that. Turn your Bible from the book of Romans. Romans 10. And I'll read from my notes. Verse 13 says that, for whoever call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And 14 keep on saying that, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? He said, if you believe, or whoever shall call the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how are they going to get saved? Without believing. How are they going to believe without preaching the gospel? We are the disciple. We need to preach the gospel. And when we preach the gospel, they will hear and they will believe. And the power in the gospel will draw them into the kingdom. We need to preach the gospel. But sometimes we wait to get pulpit before we preach. Man, it's awesome to stand in front of a pulpit, especially a Tree of Life pulpit, to preach. It's awesome, man. It is a great privilege to preach in front of pulpit. But we, as a believers, as a disciples, we don't need to wait to have pulpit before we preach the gospel. You can preach the gospel on the street. You can preach the gospel in the marketplaces, in your workplaces. The other time I was in the bath and my phone was ringing, and I told one of my boys to bring it to me. And someone was I started to share the gospel while I was bathing. I said, give me a minute. I will tell you something, then we continue later on. You can even preach the gospel in the bath. You can preach it everywhere. You don't need to wait. And others believe that they were not born in a Christian family, so there is no way they can preach the gospel. Others also believe they were not born. They are not a child of a pastor, a prophet, evangelist, so it's not part of them. They can't preach the gospel. No, that is not true. If that is true, I don't deserve to stand here to share the word of God with you, because I was not born in a Christian family. And my dad was not a Christian. He was a pagan. I thank God for my life. My dad was a pagan. He worshipped his ancestors. He killed bulls, cows, sheep, to do whatever he wants to. But I'm standing here right now to share the word of God with you. You don't need to be born by a prophet before you preach the gospel. God uses common people like you and me to do his work. Whoever you are, God has something for you to do in the body of Christ. And as a believer, it's your responsibility to preach the gospel. Not only to preach the gospel. Maybe God has a purpose for you to give, to support his kingdom, or to feed people, or to clothe people. You need to find out the nature of the purpose God has for your life so that you can do them with joy and passion. Sometimes, if you don't know the uses or the purpose of a product, you misuse it. And everything were made for a purpose. And every product has its own uses. Let me give you an example from construction side. You can know a little bit about construction. We have different kinds of mastic. And I'll give you two examples. We have fire mastic and wood mastic. And each of everyone has its own uses. Fire mastic is used to close the gaps between walls to prevent fire from one room to another or from one flat to another. And wood mastic is used to close the gap between walls and, wood, like skirting, doors, and windows. But if you use the wood mastic to work on fire mastic, when you are standing back, you see that it's awesome, but it won't give you the results you are expecting. And you abuse or misuse the product. The same way God created you with gift and talent, he created you with purpose. So if you don't know the nature of the purpose God created you with, people, you abuse your gift and talent. And it won't bring any results in your life. I normally see this in Africa, especially in my country. Some parents send their children to go to school. And they will tell their children, I want you to become a doctor. All what I want you to become is a doctor. I love doctors. They are there for us. They are awesome. And they will spend their last penny on them. And they will go through universities to acquire degrees. And they will become a doctor. They will do good job. They receive good salaries. They will build houses. They will buy cars. Every material things, they get money to buy them. But when you go close to them, you will find out that inside them, they are dying. There's no peace in them. Because they are doing something which is not God purposed them to do. And there's no joy inside them. There's no peace inside them. That is why it is important for you to find out the nature of the purpose God has for your life, so that you can do them with joy, you can do them with peace and compassion. When you find out the nature of the purpose God has for your life, man, it will change your past mistake into miracles. And it will change your disappointment into testimony. Many people who have missed their purpose, they had a great talent. But they did not know how they're supposed to do with it. Let me give you an example. Saul, before he became Paul, he was a talented person. Paul was a talented person. Turn your Bible with me to the book of Acts. And I'll read from verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threat and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Paul was an organizer. He asked letter from the high priest with permission to go to Damascus, the churches, and seek for God's people, God's elect, and bring them to Jerusalem and persecute them. He was an organizer. Paul was a leader. And also, he was a tent maker. Paul liked to use his hands to work. And also, he was a communicator by speaking and writing. But initially, before his name changed to Paul, he was using his gift in opposite way against God's people. But his name changed from Saul to Paul. But the purpose God has for his life did not change. Your plans may change, but the purpose God has for your life still remain. Purpose still remain. Purpose never change. If you find out the nature of the purpose God has for your life, it will transform you from bad to good. And your past mistake will never, ever stop the purpose God has for your life. I mean, the book of Judges, Gideon was a coward. But God redirected him. He became a mighty leader. Turn with me to Exodus. Exodus 2. Yeah, Exodus. And I'll read from verse 11. Now, it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way. And when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Moses was a murderer, but he killed the Egyptian guy and he hid him in the sand. But the purpose for Moses is to deliver his people. But he tried to do things for himself, by himself. But his purpose did not change. And God redirected him. He became a deliverer. Moses, God used him to deliver his people from the hands of Pharaoh. The Samaritan woman Jesus met on the road, the prostitute, according to the book of John, chapter 4, 1 to 42. God changed her and she became a preacher. It doesn't matter what you have done. What you have done is not necessary. God has a purpose for your life. And your past mistake will never, ever stop the purpose God has for you. Your plans may fail, but God's purpose still remain. And let's see how to fulfill your purpose. Turn your Bible with me to the book of John. John says, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John says, verse 38. I'm on the book of Mark. Sorry about that. John says 38. And I'll read if you're already there. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of whom who sent me. This is the will of whom who sent me. Oh, sorry. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. Let's turn quickly to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 26, and I'll read from 39. If you're ready there, I'll read. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. According to these chapters and verses, we find out that Jesus came to do the will of his Father, not his own will. There is none in the Bible we can find out that Jesus came to this planet to do his own will. He came to do his Father's will. So when you seek the will of God, you fulfill your purpose. Sometimes we prepare our own plans and we pray and fast and we submit to God to bless it. That's awesome. God, this is my plan. Bless it for me. But God does not support your plans if it is not within his purpose. God only supports your plans if it is within his purpose. God has a plan for you. He has a purpose for your life. And if you want to fulfill the purpose God has for your life, seek his will, and you will fulfill your purpose. And what is the will of God? This Bible is the will of God. This is God's will. Everything is in this book. When you open this book, just ask the Holy Spirit to direct you. There's nothing you can do in your life without this book. Everything you want to do in life needs to line up with this word of God. And we thank God that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can do all things. And God's word for your life is perfect and good. God will never ask you to do anything which will harm you. And anytime he asks you to do anything, he will provide exceedingly abundantly. He's God of provider. He will never ever ask you to do anything which will harm you. He has a good word for your life. God has a perfect word for your life. And I prefer a perfect word. Man, that's good. But those who receive the perfect will of God are those who spend time and wait. Those who put their trust in him. Those who put their faith in him. And those who live a childlike life of God receive the perfect will of God. God has a purpose for your life. Yes. He has a plan for your life. Seek the will of God and you fulfilled your purpose. Do not let anyone to prevent you from becoming and doing all that you were born to be and do. Don't spend time thinking about your past. And don't let anyone prevent you. God has a unique plan for your life. It's never too late for you to renew your purpose. You are not too old to renew your purpose. This country is waiting for your product. The whole nation is waiting for your product. You have gift and talent inside you. You need to deploy yourself today. Don't let the things of the past prevent you to walk through in your purpose, to fulfill your purpose. And when the blood of Jesus washed all your sins away, he washed in front of you as well, so you can see future. God bless you.